This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Luke Skywalker was just a farm boy until he received a mysterious message from a princess.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
She's beautiful.
Star Wars, starring Mark Hamill.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
Harrison Ford.
Boring conversation anyway.
Luke, we're going to have
a I think we took a wrong turn.
Carrie Fisher.
Good luck.
Alec Guinness.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
20th Century Fox presents the most extraordinary motion picture of all time, Star Wars.
Here's where the fun begins.
No legendary adventure of the past could be as exciting as this romance of the future.
Here they come.
May the Force be with you in Star Wars.
Welcome to Newcomers.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
I'm Nicole Byer.
We decided to watch something we've never seen before.
Yes.
Star Wars movies.
Yes.
We've never seen any of them.
None of them. I've never had the desire.
No.
I've never been interested, not one day in my life, in Star Wars.
I think I've worked really hard to not learn about Star Wars. And I've always kind of prided myself on, like, how little information I had.
Mm-hmm.
I have some like key names in my head,
yes,
and like some phrases I could like use in an improv scene or something,
yes,
poorly.
Or be able to have a conversation and not be like, this girl's stupid.
Right. Like, I've picked up on pop culture.
Yes.
But I feel like we're in this community of like improvisers where people act like it is the best series of,
yes,
films, and if you don't know about it, you are really missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a part of me that kind of wondered if that was true and that, like, maybe I would like this.
Yes. And I gotta say, after viewing that movie,
wow.
No,
the answer is
we
no.
We missed out on nothing.
Wow. So we just watched
episode four. Hope
which,
is here. No, what's it called?
Hope is here. A New Hope. It came out May 25th, 1977. And we just found out that it was originally released as Star Wars and got the name update in 1981. So
which
at
is
least.
Crazy.
I mean, I guess at least it wasn't called episode four when they first put it out because people would be like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Episode four of what?
I mean, this movie has been tinkered with so much by the name, and then they remastered some of it.
I know, so a lot of those characters that we saw, are like the little like guys, were like CGI'd to,
yes,
look cool or something.
And then they CGI'd Jabba the Hutt. He looked wild.
I know, I kind of wanted to see what he looked like before.
Like, gross.
Yeah.
He didn't look gross enough to be called
he
Jabba.
He looked like a CGI, like, blob.
Yeah, he looked like from A Bug's Life.
Yeah, it really wasn't, like, intimidating in a,
mm-mm,
way that I thought it was supposed to
no
be. We we were wondering, we got very sleepy while we were watching this.
Oh my God. About 30 minutes in, I was like, when does this end? I need a nap.
Yeah, it was getting really exhausting. And also, like, if you are someone who has never seen the movies, or you have and you want to hear our mm-hmm. thoughts in real time, we did a watch-along episode yes. where we recorded it as we watched it for
oh
the first time.
Oh my God. And we talk so much because there's no dialogue.
No one is talking over this movie. It's just action. It's just laser yes. beams.
And then a lot of crossfades into another scene and fade ups and fade down.
Yep. It was and a lot of, it was like George Lucas just got iMovie and he was like, dissolve.
He was like, look at this cool dissolve feature I learned about. I mean, George, why did you do this to us?
George, everyone loves you. I thought, did people like love it when it came out? So here are some reviews from 1977. The New York Times said, the most elaborate, most expensive, most beautiful movie serial ever made.
Mm.
Here's New York Mag. Oh, dull new world. We were treated to a galactic civil war, assorted heroes and villains, a princely maiden in distress, a splendid old man surviving from an extinct order of knights who possessed a mysterious power called the Force, and it is all as exciting as last year's weather report. So people at the time didn't necessarily like it.
I agree.
Hollywood Reporter said, Star Wars would undoubtedly emerge as one of the true classics in the genre of science fiction and fantasy films, and that it will be thrilling audiences of all ages for a long time to come.
Ugh.
Roger Ebert gave it a perfect 4-star review. Mm-mm. Luke's journey likened to that of the mythological hero and closed his review by saying, the magic of Star Wars is only dramatized by the special effects. The movie's heart is in its endearingly human and non-human people. I usually really agree with Roger Ebert, so I feel
not on this.
And then Siskel said, Plato would have liked Star Wars. Star Wars expresses ideals like goodness and virtue so that we are able to imagine them once again. That's what Plato said was the purpose of good art. So from the point of view of a Platonic critic, Star Wars is a good picture.
Is it?
Siskel's
the bad
lame.
Guy literally spun out into the galaxy.
I don't want, I just, what? Okay, let's introduce our guest because okay. we could go on and on about what we yes. don't understand, but maybe we can get some light shed on this situation. We have John Gemberling here today.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hi.
Very wonderful. Very funny.
Oh, we're
Thank
so glad
you for
you're
having
here.
Me.
So, oh my God.
John,
do you love this
do you
movie?
You like this movie? This is a thing that you watched willingly?
Well, listen, I have empathy for you guys.
Okay.
I have understanding.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know that it is a first of all, it's obnoxious to have something built up that much over the course of your whole life. So
that is
that's
true.
A hard place to come from. Also, it's a hard, you know, it is dated looking, the first one. And the pacing is maybe a little dated.
Oh,
so,
my God, it's so slow. Kimberly, can I ask? Okay. So, how many times did you have to see the film to understand the film?
Well, so I'm like the opposite of you guys. I was born in 81.
Mm-hmm.
So I never saw any of these movies in the theater. But I don't have a memory of the first time I saw these movies.
Like, they just are a part of your life.
Yeah, like I came into consciousness like having seen these movies.
Wow.
So like all the revelations, you know, everything in them, like I never discovered them for the first time in my conscious memory.
That's so interesting. I think that must be true for a lot of people your age and our age that like the second they were able to watch movies, someone puts that on for them.
And my parents would talk about it. Not that they're like huge Star Wars fans, but like they would, you know, quote things from it.
Really?
And stuff. So I remember watching Return of the Jedi at one point when I was like maybe 9 or 10 and being like, oh yeah, like I'm putting it together. Like I know all this, but now I'm sort of consciously watching it in a way that I didn't before. But yeah, I mean, this, first of all, you got to understand that prior to Star Wars, sci-fi was like pulpy. It was like, you know, Flash Gordon-y.
Like cheesy.
Yeah. Like this was the first movie that really commercialized, like, I think put like a symphonic score underneath it and commercialized the sort of epicness of it. So it was, you know, it did do something that wasn't being done before. You know, George Lucas is big into like Joseph Campbell and sort of power of myth and
tell
all
us more
that
about
stuff.
That.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. Also, symphonic, what a great SAT word. I'm going to put it right in my pocket and forget about it later.
Joseph Campbell was a comparative mythologist. He's dead now, but he, you know, wrote a lot about, you know, myth throughout history and the sort of hero's journey mm-hmm. that is universal in all myth and all cultures throughout history. So, and he, I think, liked Star Wars a lot when it came out because of that.
Do you think Nicole is falling asleep?
I
truly
was...
yawned and then was like opening my eyes wider. No, I just, okay. Can I ask a question?
We like can't believe what we've gotten ourselves into. Like,
no. Are you going to watch all these movies?
Yes, and there's eight
the
more.
The second it was playing, I think both of us were going, wait, we're like, what?
Okay, so the 3PCP, uh-oh. 3PC.
Oh, look at your diagram.
3PCP.
3P.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the audience? They have
We have a printout here of all the characters.
Yeah.
Names and picture.
They have a printout of a picture of Jabba the Hutt, and underneath it, it says Jabba the Hutt.
Because we don't know. Okay. Oh, I didn't even know this. Okay, so this sick man.
Oh, those guys are Jawas. I thought they were droids.
Jawas. We thought they were droids. We couldn't figure it out. Yeah.
What's that?
A Jawa. They're like an alien race. There's a lot of race analogs in Star Wars. So those would be your like Arab trader aliens.
Oh, and they did call them sand
people.
And I was like, seems like a slur.
Okay,
and
so I got
them
right.
Tusken Raiders is the proper term.
Thought that the sand people killed the Jawas, but the Jawas are the sand people.
Yes.
No.
Oh, no. Sand people are different.
The sand people are human height. They were the ones that attacked Luke.
The Jawas.
And they did kill the... Sorry?
So they did kill the Jawas.
They did kill those Jawas.
Oh, and okay. Then C-3PO just starts burning them in a pyre, like, instantly.
Which was, like pretty wild. Like,
he's stacking all the Jawas up and, like, lights them on fire.
It was kind of crazy. And then the way
so
Luke's
heartless.
Aunt and uncle were burned,
I know,
you
that,
can still
that's,
see, like, the flesh on the bones.
That's possibly the most... graphic moment, one of the most graphic moments in Star Wars. There's never again a moment where you see a charred skeleton.
Now, is that why people like kind of universally like it too? That like there's nothing so violent. Mm-hmm. Like all the deaths are kind of like, no, like,
yeah, and then you like you don't see blood, die. And then the lasers kind of just hit you and you fall down and die.
I mean, it was always, I think, meant to have commercial appeal in the sense of, like, they wanted to sell toys even from the beginning. They wanted it to appeal to everybody. So it is sort of all things.
Do you think that Carrie Fisher and all those guys, like, knew that they were getting into something cool, or was it kind of an accident?
I don't think anything they've ever said about it, I think they were doing a lot of cocaine, and they were fucking around, and George Lucas was annoying because he cared so much.
That's
and,
funny.
You know,
that is very funny.
They were just doing
also,
the job.
Also, didn't realize that the sick man had a name. That's Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah, he was
the sick man?
He looked
we were
so
worried about
Ill.
His health.
It looked like he was dying
he looked like
throughout
he was dying.
The movie.
He looked very ill.
Every scene he was in, he looked... Right. Closer to death.
Can we walk through the
plot?
Peter
Cushing. He's an admiral of the... So let me say one thing first.
Okay.
You mentioned Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
So you guys watched the shitty version of this movie.
We watched the remastered version.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, not only is it remastered, but they added all the CGI stuff. They added...
Yeah.
That scene with Jabba the Hutt is an added scene.
So he was never even in the movie?
He was never even in the... Jabba the Hutt is referenced... But he does not appear until...
How did they add that, though, with Harrison
Wait,
Ford?
Yeah, how'd they do that?
Like, walking and talking
I'll
with
tell
him.
You in a moment. He doesn't... Jabba the Hutt does not appear until Return of the Jedi, the third movie.
Oh. So what's next the second one called?
Empire Strikes Back. That's
Back.
The one to watch next.
Oh, okay.
And he is, in that, a, like, puppeted thing that actually does look cool. And he seems bigger. So that was a scene... Before they knew, they cast somebody to be, Jabba the Hutt, I think originally was just like a big fat guy who looked sort of like a barbarian. So they shot that scene with Harrison Ford and fat barbarian Jabba
just
the Hutt.
Walking.
Just human, talking and walking. And then it was cut from the movie. So they added it back in. They basically slapped a CGI Jabba the Hutt over that
It
actor.
Did look like that, because Harrison Ford is, like, touching Jabba, but not really
touching
And he
him.
Walks behind him and steps on his tail and sort of, like, artificially raises up and down.
Why did they do that?
I wonder.
They did it because George Lucas doesn't understand his own creation.
Ah.
He doesn't understand that, like, was not given the budget in his mind or the time to make the movie he wanted to make.
Yes.
And he was bitter about it for his whole fucking career
after
that.
Everyone loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his movies benefited from the studio system giving him notes and not giving him infinite
free
amounts
reign.
Of money.
Yeah.
So then when he had the money and opportunity, he then went back and soothed his own childish ego by adding all this extra shit in that wasn't necessary.
That nobody wanted.
That scene with Jabba the Hutt adds nothing to the
movie.
It doesn't
weird.
Add any
it was
information.
Very weird. And we wondered like why we didn't see Jabba again and why he looked like that.
It was so weird.
It was so weird.
He's supposed to be something. The movie in its original form is so good at referencing things and characters and making you wonder about them and wish you could see them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Clone Wars. I spent so much of my childhood going, what were the Clone Wars? What happened in
the
Clone
Wars? I hope
the Clone
Wars were just one person, but like a million
CGI,
of that one person.
Like that in Willy
because
Wonka.
Clones.
In Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when they have like the little guy that they just CGI 100 times in the new version.
Yeah, that's
what
I want.
Wait till you watch the prequels. The Clone Wars are dog shit.
Wow.
Oh, dang.
There's no reason to ever see the Clone Wars. The Clone Wars is something to wonder about and be like, I wish I could see that part of the lore.
Okay, interesting. Go ahead.
Did George Lucas do the first three? Did he do all of them?
I don't think he directed any of the original three movies, but he wrote them and produced them.
I think he directed the one we just watched was written and directed by George Lucas.
Did he direct?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought so. Oh, yeah, director George Lucas. Yes.
Okay.
The paper tells me.
And then I think he directed the three prequel movies, and then it was bought away from him by Disney. So these newest movies
have nothing really to do with him.
Right.
Interesting. Okay, so we start off this movie with C-3PO. I don't know why.
Dude, that's hysterical.
I don't know why I can't remember it. C-3PO and R2-D2.
We spend so much time with them.
Yes, for what?
And it actually is confusing because it doesn't seem to pay off. Like, we spend time with them when they get lost in the desert.
And then they split up.
So then,
end up together?
Is the reason why we follow them because then they end up working with Luke Skywalker, but they wouldn't have otherwise if they weren't lost in that desert? Does none of this make any sense to you because we don't know what we're talking about?
Well, I don't know how much you want me to
tell us about everything.
Prequels or what?
Everything.
I don't know if we want information that we wouldn't have from watching this, but like, so is that impossible to do because like you know all this stuff?
Well, I think at the barest form, they are the sort of, in the sort of archetypes of myth and story, they're the sort of wandering fools who just sort of are a witness to these epic events, but And play a part in them, but are the sort of almost the audience in the way that they sort of bumble around and are sort of kicked from one event to the next.
Yeah.
Why is C-3PO so mean to R2-D2?
Well, C-3PO is he's anxious and doesn't want to get into trouble, and R2-D2 is more adventurous and feels a sense of duty
and
is a risk taker.
You think of R2-D2 as being like sentient, like it has feelings, and like it felt
like how you said feelings.
It felt like we decided that R2-D2 was basically a phone.
Yes,
that like he could look up information and like tell them stuff,
and then
like could
project
like,
Princess Leia.
Yeah, but like he wasn't.
Oh, but he's
feeling.
Devious. He gets Luke to take his restraining bolt off, and then he escapes.
Oh,
he escapes to go do his mission.
Wait, when did he escape? Oh my God! What?
Do you mean when he's sticking his head out of the spaceship?
What? No. In the beginning of the movie, when he has the recording,
he
plays a little bit of it to tantalize Luke so that Luke says, hey, what's that video? Show me more. And then he says, translated through C-3PO, he can't play it unless you take his restraining bolt off. The restraining bolt keeps them from having free will,
And so he is sentient after that gets pulled
out.
Yeah,
he's got feelings.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's a lot of questions about how the ethics of the universe, where these droids are clearly feeling sentient yes. beings that are essentially enslaved by mm-hmm. their makers.
Wait. So, we just don't know. So C-3PO and R2-D2 are droids.
Yes.
Okay, because I was confused about what a droid was the entire time.
They call them robot. He says robot at a certain mm-hmm. point. I mean, yeah,
right. And then they say that very famous line of, these are not the droids we're looking for or something. Isn't that like a huge line? I feel like people say that all the time. Or like, these are the droids you're looking for.
Well, that's the first time. And I was like, I don't know. I've never heard that.
Yeah, I don't know why I know that.
Well, that's the first time you see the what the power of the Force can accomplish. It's Obi-Wan is mind controlling those stormtroopers.
We didn't get that.
When he made them turn, I did.
No, we knew that part, but I'm saying when he said these are not the droids we're looking for, yes. Obi-Wan was protecting them and saying they actually are the droids they're looking for, but they were under a mind control to say that they were confused.
The stormtroopers he's putting those thoughts in the stormtroopers' mind.
So how come Obi-Wan Kenobi can't just like make the Death Star blow up himself and like kill Darth Vader with his force?
Well, he says that mind control trick works on essentially weak-minded people. It's not something that, he's not all-powerful.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so at the beginning, we also know that,
there was another R2-D2, and then they just, threw him away.
Yeah, there was another C-3PO. Okay, so there was, a silver version.
A silver one, yeah.
And then there was also, another version of R2-D2. Were those just, are there just a ton of those, but we only follow these two?
Yeah, there are...
And do they come in pairs?
No.
Okay.
The R2-D2 and C-3PO are, by the chance of fate, a sort of adventuring duo always are sort of, counterparts. But no, they're manufactured products, essentially.
So there's thousands of these things.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, there's R2-D4, I think, is the red one. You know, they're model lines.
So they are
and
like
stuff.
Phones.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's the Astromech.
There's models.
Astromech is the big company that makes all the droids.
Oh, my God. Is that why androids are called androids?
Oh, is it?
Is that why androids are called? Is that why droids?
Well, a droid, an android.
Droid is short for android.
But, a non-iPhone's an android.
But that's a word that existed before Star Wars.
Star Wars didn't come up with the word android.
Okay. All right. Color
that's
me
okay.
stupid.
No. I didn't know that for sure. I was letting it play out. So, at the beginning, we have Princess Leia. Do we even know that yet? We know from the scrolling type at the beginning that Princess Leia has been captured.
Yes.
There's a lot of information given there. It's hard to follow if you don't know what's going on at all.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wondered why they said it.
I guess maybe to give you more, to make it more epic. It seems like something epic is happening.
Well, it was definitely a decision to make. You said it wasn't named A New Hope until 1981. I don't know if it was, when it was first released, called Episode 4 or not.
It was not.
It was just
Star
Wars.
Called Star Wars.
Okay. So at some point, the idea that this is not the first in the series, I mean, I would think the crawl would have been there, so... The whole, God, you're yawning.
Oh, my God. So he liked the idea of it being not the first of the series, but didn't want to call it A New Hope because people would be like, what do you mean I never saw the first Hope?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't.
What's your
guess? I don't actually know about that, but I know that the idea that this story exists in a sort of serial, because him and Spielberg and these guys, baby
Spielberg
boomer guys.
Oh, Spielberg was involved?
At a certain point, he's a producer. Yeah.
That I didn't know.
These guys all loved, radio dramas mm-hmm. and, sci-fi serial stuff. So I think their intention, Lucas's intention was that this fits as part of a serial epic in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that it gives you all this information in the crawl at the beginning is sort of I think it's supposed to give you the idea that you're coming into the middle of this story and this mm-hmm. universe and,
I think that's pretty fun, actually.
It is.
Yeah. Do you want me to read this in-depth plot synopsis? I think it might help us remember.
Okay,
it's just a paragraph. Because honestly, we were so confused. Okay, the film is set about 19 years after the formation of the Galactic Empire. Construction has finished on the Death Star, a weapon capable of destroying a planet. After Princess Leia Organa, a leader of the Rebel Alliance, receives the weapon's plans and the hope of finding a weakness, she is captured and taken to the Death Star. That was unclear.
Yes, because okay. We didn't know how she got yeah. to the Death Star.
Meanwhile, a young farmer named Luke Skywalker.
He's a farmer?
They're moisture farmers.
New
moisture.
Information.
Wait, what?
He grows
they're
wet.
Moisture
farmers.
Is that a
moisture farmer?
Because it's the desert. Tatooine is a planet in a binary system, so it has two suns. That's why it's so hot.
Oh, I saw the two suns.
I saw that. How do you know?
Well,
he just told you.
I think they
the
probably.
The movie tells you? Nobody
they
ever mentioned moisture
never
farming.
Say Luke. I don't think they say Luke Skywalker is a moisture farmer.
But do you think so much of it comes from like... So people, I think in general, grow up watching these movies farmer. And then they research more about it.
Yeah.
Well, certainly, yeah. I mean, I think if you watch it again, you'll probably... It doesn't actually sound like you guys were paying that good
we
attention.
Were
I,
you have
I didn't
no
pick
idea.
Up my phone one
I
time.
I picked up my phone once and I really missed something, so I was... Okay, wait, I'm going to go on.
But,
meanwhile,
oh,
a young farmer named Luke Skywalker okay. meets Obi-Wan Kenobi, who has lived in seclusion for years on the desert planet of Tatooine. When Luke's home is burned and his aunt and uncle killed, Obi-Wan begins Luke's Jedi training as they, along with Han Solo, Chewbacca, C-3PO, and R2-D2, attempt to rescue the princess from the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
We got that. We got that when his aunt... So mm-hmm. Ben Kenobi came over to him.
Yes.
And we were like, Ben Kenobi, where's Obi-Wan?
Where's
like,
Obi-Wan?
We were fully not getting it
yes.
at all. And then we watched his aunt and uncle die, who we got to know for 1 minute.
Yeah,
and then, it was
and then
kind
they
of
didn't
devastating.
Put her in wardrobe. She was wearing clothes that just looked...
She wears the same thing 2 days in a row, definitely.
And you weren't
and
very not
70s
committed to
no.
her character. They were like,
no.
she'll be dead in a minute.
And then
it's
also,
fine.
Like, for moisture farming, their clothes are pretty drapey. You know, like, what happens if the moisture gets caught on the drapery?
Yeah, and then you're wasting the moisture.
You know?
What?
That's expensive moisture you're farming.
They're wearing, like, drapey kimonos.
Well, they live
were
in the desert.
Are you not paying attention to the fashion?
It's
feels
very
like
hot. It's
attention.
Like desert wear.
Yeah. All right.
We'll be back with more Star Wars Episode 4 discussion right after this short break.
Remember in 2018 when border control separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents and deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not been reunified. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'd see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that families belong together, join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity to donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. altrolado.org/volunteer.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, H-E-L-P.com/newcomers.
Ooh, Do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Do you know what they're eating in that meal?
Oh, yeah. What were they
where
eating?
It's like gray.
He was drinking
liquid.
Like gray milk.
The blue milk is a topic of some discussion.
Oh.
It's just called The Blue Milk. And then in one of the newer movies,
I like that it's called Blue
Milk. Called The Blue Milk?
I can't even keep track anymore, but like the last major movie that Mark Hamill was in,
mm-hmm.
there is a scene of him milking a creature for this blue milk.
Oh, that
boy.
Is sick. I can't wait till we get there.
As sort of an Easter egg.
Nine movies later.
Yeah. Well, it's like now it's just fan service. Now it's like, mm-hmm. let's
we
put
know
in
you're
these
talking about the blue milk. Yeah. Let's see where it comes from.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Can't wait to see that.
Okay, so he meets Ben. He knows Ben at this point, Kenobi, and Ben's like, he explains the Force.
Yes.
Which we thought was a beautiful little moment.
Yes.
Kind of seeming, it seemed very important.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sees that his people are dead, so he instantly is like, fine, I'm going to join you.
Which was like,
he had plans
kind
to go to
of
school.
Insane
yeah.
that he doesn't really react. He's not like, boo-hoo.
There was
boo-hoo.
No emotional reaction.
He just is like, I'm a Jedi now.
He's like, all right, here we go.
The movie moves very fast. I mean,
The story does move fast, but the pacing is very slow. It's like a lot of things happen.
Like,
but
we spent
moves.
15 minutes just on R2-D2 and I'll get his name without looking down. 3CPO.
No.
People, people CP, C-3PO.
People CPO.
We spent so much time on that for no reason.
Right.
But okay, yeah. Why doesn't he care about his aunt and uncle? Like, why does that happen so quick?
I think there was a lot. I mean, there's definitely like, every couple years, some new, like, deleted scene comes out. It's like, oh, this is a scene with his old friend who leaves and goes to the academy. And this, I think they shot a lot and then they edited it. I think the movie really got made in editing, at least the first one.
Fair.
So, yes. I won't say, I said it moves quickly. It doesn't, it moves.
The story,
it jumps a lot of
speeds.
Yes,
it slows down and speeds up, oddly, definitely.
And then Kenobi, whatever, was like...
Ben/Obi.
He explained Luke's father was killed by
Darth Vader.
Now, we kind of know
yes.
Darth's line. That,
yeah.
spoiler alert.
Heard that? I actually was avoiding saying it just in case you didn't know.
No. That's one of the, like, major things that I know because it's in Toy Story. Maybe it's Toy Story 2. There's, like, a play on it. So then I was like, oh, what does this mean?
So you hadn't heard that until Toy Story 2.
I've heard it my whole life, like, Luke, I am your father or whatever. But it's like, I don't care.
Yeah, it's like, okay, what is that?
But we were... what we were kind of wondering about, and you can tell us if you want, but, like, we thought there was going to be a romance in this movie.
Correct.
And there's not. There's a kiss on the cheek between Leia and Luke.
And then a wink between Hans and... Princess Leia.
Did you say Hans?
Han Solo?
You think his name is Hans Olo?
Okay.
I did think it was that for many years. I called him Hans. I think I only learned that last year.
This is upsetting.
You think he's like Danish?
I thought it was Hans Solo.
Han? His name is Han.
Han.
But see, some people's names are Han, and some people's names are Luke and Ben.
Yeah.
Like, why are the names so all over the place? Like, you could have a crazy name, or you could have Luke as your name.
Get ready. It gets... When you get to the prequels, it's all bets are fucking off.
I know there's an Anakin.
Okay, we have to talk about Skywalker.
Isn't there a character named Anakin?
Yeah.
We have to talk about the aliens in the bar.
Oh, the aliens in the bar were so wild. There was
They're so weird. It could be anything.
A lot of things that look like they had balls on their faces.
Okay. Well, and the devil is there.
Yes, the literal devil
is
there.
The Judeo-Christian
literally
devil.
Literally what he was?
I don't think so. No, he's a race. You know, this
he's a race.
What, I mean, this... Well, and also, like, some droids are just, like, clearly garbage cans.
So everything's a droid?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, like, in the Jawa... transport vehicle, one of the droids is like just has a lid.
Yeah, we did talk about that. Yes, yeah. So what are those people? Aliens? What are they called?
Yeah. Well, each race has its own name. I'm not exactly sure what the devil race is.
Why all of the aliens inside the bar were so upset that R2-D2 and the Gold Man were coming in, so they made them stay outside.
That makes no sense.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that droid discrimination ever comes up again in the movie. It makes absolutely no sense.
Oh,
yeah,
the
no
devil
reason.
Was the, it was called Devaronian.
Oh,
the devil-faced Devaronians first appeared in A New Hope, in which one of them was seen in Chalmers Cantina. Chalmers?
Is that the name
Cantina?
Of the bar?
That's the bar.
Oh,
a Devaronian. Okay, we have a lot
Devaronian.
To learn.
I love that all these... aliens and droids have names.
Oh, they're all built out. Yeah.
Wow. There's,
and a lot of them have action figures. When a few years after Star Wars, like in the early 80s, there were like catalogs. There was a catalog you could get with just, I don't know about hundreds, but like dozens and dozens of little action figures that was like, you know, a character that
you could
you
just
saw
have
in the background
the whole
at one
universe
point.
To play with.
That's fun.
Kinda cool.
Yeah.
It was fun. So this, yeah, I mean, this is one of those things. I'm sure you guys have it. I think part of
90 Day Fiancé.
I love 90 Day Fiancé.
Well, I think part of childhood and human existence is there is something that hooks into you as a kid that is just whenever you see it throughout your whole life, you're just like, I'm home.
Yeah.
You have that feeling.
What movie is that for you, Lauren?
There are so many. I mean, I think Big is a movie like that for me that whenever I watch it, I feel like very
Never
calm.
Seen it.
I've seen it like 100 times. But also like cartoons.
So for you, it's like pedophilia. It's like allowed pedophilia.
A woman
getting to be with a young boy. But like cartoons like Ren and Stimpy or things that like feel kind of like soothing to me, or like Full House and Saved by the Bell. Like I feel like I kind of numb out watching something like that. So is that what you feel about Star Wars? Like
it's not
it
just because I have
them.
That numbing with Full House too. That like I can watch that, but also intellectually I'm like this is
it's
awful.
So dumb. Yeah.
It's more like the look of it and the colors and there's a sort of weightiness to it, to like the characters. And Harrison Ford is just like magical.
We loved
so
him.
Cool.
He's so
funny. I think
funny.
He was our favorite part. Cool. I really liked him.
He's so hot in it. He's like very
so
cool.
Hot.
And he manages to be funny and like frightened.
Yeah.
And like over it, but also cool.
Yeah.
Like him and Bruce Willis and a couple other like manage to be great action stars because they can play like frightened and exhausted while being cool really well.
Yeah. When I liked Leia, I thought that she was like cool too, but
she was also kind of rude.
Yeah. But I thought that was kind of an interesting character trait for the princess.
And also, I get it. She's got trauma.
She does.
She was held captive, so I get it.
But I think I came to like we were talking about how we don't connect these actors with this movie because we know them from other things, like Harrison Ford or Carrie Fisher. We know from other stuff, and I feel like When Harry Met Sally is more like my Carrie Fisher connection, which is so different.
Yep.
But like, then seeing them in this context, it's really interesting because you're seeing like what people love about them. Weirdly, I could love them for all these different reasons and different movies or like things I know about their personalities. But then seeing them in this movie, it's like, oh, this is the thing that got them where they were.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I get it. Like, I get why Harrison Ford became huge.
Oh, yeah.
He's so charismatic in this movie.
Yeah. Especially when you consider there's like so little dialogue. There's barely anything for him to work with in terms of like looking, like getting across that you're like a cool guy. Like, he says, like, 10 lines. Like, it really is. It must have been, like, an interesting filming process because it didn't feel like he was.
I wonder what the script looked like. I guess I could probably get it and read it. But it just seems like
there's
lots of action lines.
There's a version. There's a like, a first, not first draft, but, like, original draft that came out that was somehow found and released, like, 15 years ago or something that is just insane. Like, Luke's last name is Star Killer.
Yes.
R2-D2 and C-3PO aren't in it. Their roles are I think, two, like, bumbling Imperial guys who, like, bumble around and are like, whoa, what's going on? It's so different.
But the script did seem really crazy. Like, from our perspective, it was going from thing to thing so quickly. And anything could seemingly happen in this universe. Like, there could be aliens that look like all these different things, or people, species that look like all these different things just at a bar. So that was how we're introduced to all of them. Then, like, when they're being squished in that trash compactor and, like, the little, like, alien comes up and, like, grabs Luke Skywalker and he almost drowns. Like,
and then we never see that alien thing again. And then
you wanted that to have an arc.
Well, why was it down there? Who was that?
Yeah, where is it going? Where did it come from? What's its motivation? Why is it trying to kill them?
Like, it feels like now you couldn't make that movie and just be like, and then this thing is like, and then, like, it's gone.
Yeah, and then and not then, like, have a payoff for it.
It feels like you need to see it again or, like, know what it was.
Yeah. Well, so this movie is Star Wars is tricky because it's sci-fi, but really it's more fantasy, you know, it has technological elements, but originally and in the years since it came out, there's been a lot of like side novels and comic books and other movies and stuff that sort of seek to explain what everything is and fill in those gaps. But really it was made from a sort of fantasy perspective where like there's creatures and crazy stuff and you can fly faster than light speed to the other end of the galaxy all you want and get around and, you know. But it wasn't really made with the sort of like science fiction ethos that is like everything has to be plausible and understandable and make have a certain internal logic to it.
That's really important information, though, I think, because I think that could make me angry watching this, thinking that there's supposed to be a reason for everything.
But just saying, hey, it's fantasy.
He's just having fun.
Shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
Poor Chewbacca, though, in that garbage compactor scene. He was fully having an anxiety attack or a panic attack.
Yeah.
And I really felt for him.
Yeah.
That was really sad. So where do you classify Chewbacca in terms of pet,
pilot? We were having trouble with that relationship.
What is he to Luke or to Han? Because it was like, he was like piloting the plane, was very able. Then like Han's like, get out of here, and like pats him on the head. Like, it feels like there's this kind of pet dynamic as well.
So their backstory is, I believe at a certain point they, Han like saved his life in one of their earlier adventures. And so in the Wookiee culture, if someone saves your life, you owe them a life debt. So Chewbacca is essentially honor bound to accompany Han Solo and be his sort of protector and companion and stuff. So, and I think that's just their relationship. You know, it's sort of, they like love each other, but they get on each other's nerves too.
Yeah.
And Han can be disparaging, and you
that
know.
Would bum me out to be like, my closest friend is bound to me because he has to be.
And the opposite too, where it's like, oh, that guy saved my life. Now I have to be by him all the time.
All
like
the
I don't
time.
Get to have my personal life, which obviously would have been amazing as Chewbacca wandering whatever.
But
planet.
I think they like each
Do
other.
Do we get
too.
To see other Wookiees? Is that what he is? A Wookiee?
Yeah. I don't know that you see other Wookiees until the prequels.
Like a lady Wookiee?
Oh, I want to see Chewbacca with a bow.
Right? right? Just like a bow in her hair. She's like, oh.
The prequels. Any bullshit you come up with that you wanna, you go, oh, what about this?
We'll see in the prequels.
The subsequent movies will deliver it to you.
So we're gonna see Chewbacca fuck?
Yeah, we were hoping for that. We need to see more people fuck. So okay, so we thought in this movie there was gonna be Yoda. We thought there was gonna be
there was no Yoda
fucking between two characters that possibly were siblings.
Yes. Because
we
Luke
we kind of know that
and Leia are siblings.
Do you know it or not?
We think we know that.
What do you think you know?
We think that they're
brother and sister.
That they hook up and then find out that they're siblings. That's like what we think is true.
They are twin siblings.
Oh shit, Whoa. They're twins? How do they not know they're if you get split up at birth.
Yeah.
They're
very easy explanation.
Yeah, they're the
I was
children,
like, what? How?
They're the children of Anakin Skywalker who becomes Darth Vader.
What?
They were
Yes.
Oh wait. That's too much information.
Yeah. Well,
Darth Vader is his father.
We
only
you know
that
Anakin.
That's just because people say things.
Yes.
But I don't know how it came together.
Mm. Right.
Yes.
I think we can't explore that further because we need to be surprised. We have to have something cool happen later or we're going to...
And I'm already pretty confused by that statement.
Well,
and then Anakin is... He's played by Hayden Christensen in the prequels?
He's played by Jake Lloyd in the first prequel, like an 8-year-old child.
Oh, just
then
kidding.
He's played by Hayden Christensen in the next two.
Oh, okay.
Prequels.
Okay, then at the end, I'm jumping around a little bit, but there was that, they're like, this mission will take 30 minutes, and then it took literally 30 minutes.
It was so
wild.
Wait,
they say that it'll take 30 minutes? Oh, there's 30 minutes until they have a line of sight to destroy
And it takes
Yavin.
A full 30 minutes. It's so bonkers.
We just watched lasers shooting. How come the lasers can't kill them more precisely?
Yes. Why aren't the lasers precise? Like, it seems like the lasers are arbitrary until they decide, oh, this person must die.
It's true. There is a sort of running joke that stormtroopers can't hit anything.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Also, what's the point of their armor? Because as soon as you get hit with a laser,
they
die.
Yeah, like, that's good. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah, what's the point? You're just wearing all this heavy armor just to die?
Yeah.
I feel like one thing that I like about this culture is that even the biggest fans want to poke holes in it and like make fun of it. Like it feels like you're saying people just would comment on how they can't hit anything.
Right. Well, there's definitely the first movie. There are campy elements to it. There are a lot of stilted performances. Mm-hmm. A lot of the like side actors that come up and are like, Lord Vader, this is happening
perfect.
Over here. And they're
almost
looking at the camera. And they, it's like, it definitely has a sort of schlocky.
Okay, here's a question. So when Ben/Obi decides to let Darth kill him, he like looks over and then is like, kill me. And then he disappears
right.
and
he looks
just
at Luke
robes.
And just like decides to be killed or become just like a voice. Because he talks to him later and Luke would be like, I heard that. And like tap his head.
Yeah, he literally tapped his helmet to be like, I'm registering this voice.
But
does he die or does he become like a part of the Force?
Yeah, he becomes one with the Force, essentially.
Oh. That seems big for him.
Yeah. He loves the Force. So like that must be great that he graduated to be the Force.
I think it is great.
Also, their fight sequence wasn't intense.
No.
It was just like, doo, doo.
No.
And they even like would think sometimes, like,
So you sort of have to look at these movies as like an evolution almost. Okay. Like the first movie is sort of like caveman, you mm-hmm. know, and then they sort of evolve to the point where in the prequels, Yoda is like leaping and spinning around and doing all these like.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
I can't wait for the little Yoda.
It gets like too choreographed and intense and like.
Uh-huh.
I love the design. You know, this movie, the design is so cool.
Well, it's very well done considering the time.
Yeah, because
like,
that's the 70s, right?
Yeah, like looking at the sets, I was pretty impressed by that. Like I can't think of other 70s movies that are fantastical in this way that I would have seen.
Well, 2001, I think, came out before this.
Oh, okay.
So it draws certainly from that, mm-hmm. the sort of stark white Kubrick aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's hard. It's a hard world to process because on the one hand, the design of the stormtroopers is so beautiful and the sort of like sheer white reflective angular quality mm-hmm. of it is beautiful to look at. But like I said, it's useless, you
right.
know?
Right, yeah.
I spent hours in Barnes & Noble as a kid like paging through because they would come out with like books of the concept art. So much work went
wow.
into
oh, wow.
these movies like concept art, model designs for aliens that never even made it into the movie,
mm-hmm.
Landscape paintings of different planets and stuff. And it's beautiful. It's
well,
amazing.
Yeah, we were thinking about that in that bar scene with, mm-hmm. in the cantina with all of the aliens that, like, how do you even tell someone what to yes. make for this scene? Like, they could look like anything and be anything, and they only need to be one of each one,
yeah.
and they can look completely different from each other, and we don't have to explain it.
Yeah, so much work went into yeah. those aliens
yeah,
for
so
that one
it was
scene.
Very
yeah.
Henson-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they yeah. Henson was.
Oh, did he do it all?
Well, Yoda is.
We're learning so much.
Henson did a lot the puppeting. A lot of the
wait,
puppeting.
Yoda's a puppet?
Yeah.
Well, Yoda we haven't seen yet. We don't know how little he is.
I didn't know Art.
Frank Oz does the voice.
R2-D2. We learned
a
person
was
inside.
There's a guy in there. Yeah,
and it's like, well, why is he just a robot moving around?
I really felt like that must have been like one of the hardest jobs in the movie is squishing
yes.
into that little costume.
Yes,
that R2-D2 costume and just
oh, yeah.
like riding around
just
in the
ride
dark.
Around.
And it was hot too. I mean, they shot a lot of that in Africa.
Oh what? Wow! I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That is wild.
I think a lot of that,
like
desert
the desert stuff. Yeah, I was very surprised by how dusty the
yeah,
terrain
it was.
I thought it was
going
to be more like a spaceship
yes.
throughout the whole thing, and then it made sense of Disneyland where I have been, where they have the Star Wars thing, where it's very dusty, and I was almost like Egyptian or something, and
mm-hmm.
I was confused by
well, now
that.
We know. It's
now I know.
In Africa.
But that's an interesting choice. Do you
mm-hmm.
know anything about like why that is, or was it just to kind of give them different, like I guess if Luke Skywalker is a desert farmer or whatever, that's
well,
moisture farmer, excuse me.
I think another incongruity in it is like every planet sort of has just one ecosystem.
Yeah.
You know, they it's a lot of like, there's like the desert planet, the ice planet.
And there was
the
like the tree
planet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So that's another thing that's like, it's cool and gettable and simple
mm-hmm.
and it all looks great. But also, what planet would have just, I mean, obviously there's planets that,
ooh.
There's inhospitable planets that.
Speaking
right.
of planets, so Princess Leia had a whole planet blown up.
Yeah.
And we don't really talk about
and
it
was
again.
Was that Earth?
Yeah. No,
was
that was
it?
Alderaan.
No. Oh, I mean, but it looked
oh,
like
Alderaan.
Earth.
I don't think Earth, I think
exists.
There's a different galaxy
oh.
altogether.
So that was just to like throw them off the scent? She was like, which one, I mean, did she want them to blow that up or was that an accident?
No, that's where that's her home planet. So
oh,
her
shit.
Father
so,
and mother, her family was just killed.
She had a very small reaction to that.
She really did. A lot of the deaths are not met with the emotional reactions I need. Because
I always
yeah.
thought that was like a trick. Like I thought she
same.
Pretended to make that one was important so that he would blow that one up.
So wait, so her mother
she,
and
they
her
want
father
her,
died, but then isn't
yeah.
her dad Darth Vader?
So her adoptive family.
She doesn't know that Darth is
oh,
her dad?
Oh, okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they want her to tell them the location of the rebel base, which
mm-hmm.
is actually on Yavin 4, as you know now that you've seen the movie.
Yes,
definitely could have told
Yavin
you that,
4.
Yeah.
But she tells them in that moment that it's on Dantooine, which actually is the location of an old rebel base that
mm-hmm.
has been abandoned at this point.
Ah.
And I went to Dantooine in the video game Knights of the Old Republic.
Wait, what?
What does that mean?
What? Yeah, what did any of that sentence mean?
There was a video game for Xbox 360, I think, Knights of the Old Republic, which is sort of a role-playing, like, Star Wars action game that takes place, like, hundreds or thousands of years earlier. And that's one of the places you go. It's Dantooine. There's, like, a Jedi temple there.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. Are the guys in the orange, are they Jedis?
Yeah, what are those guys?
Yeah, who are them?
Are they on paper?
They're rebel pilots. Not. You're talking about the pilots?
The ones
with the yellow glasses.
So there's no Jedis. Obi-Wan Kenobi is a Jedi. After the Clone Wars, Darth Vader and the Emperor wiped out all the Jedis.
Oh,
so
okay.
Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda are basically the last couple of Jedis. Darth Vader.
And a Jedi is just like a master fighter who can do the Force.
So there's the light side of the Force and there's the dark side of the Force.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
The Jedi are a religious order devoted to the Force who operate on the light side of the Force.
They're like monks.
Sort of, yeah. Or like warrior monks.
Okay.
Like Buddhist warrior monks almost. And the Sith is an order devoted to the dark side of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
So the Emperor and Darth Vader are Sith lords.
I've heard of that.
Okay.
From later stuff, right?
Yeah,
Sith plays a role.
Well, there's the Revenge of the Sith. Nope.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, right? Revenge of the Sith?
Well, as I just mentioned, the Emperor and Darth Vader are both Sith lords.
Yeah, so we know that, but they don't say Sith in this movie.
No.
I don't think so, no.
Like, that's one of the things that is kind of hard about it, because you know all these things, these catchphrases, but they don't really come into play until later. Like, I didn't know.
I can imagine it's very confusing for you guys to come in
confusing
at this angle to this movie, having a sort of jumble of cultural things in your head.
Yeah, we have like 30 plus years of.
I mean, you guys can't actually
random things being said. Yeah. You're like, yes, yeah, Obi-Wan,
got it.
You guys can't actually watch these movies with virgin eyes. It's going to be like sifting through expectations and weird stuff and trying to like push it all out of the way just to accept the sequence of events that they're showing you as they're showing it to you.
Now, in my mind, The Empire Strikes Back is the movie. Is that how people would say? Because to me, that's I think maybe the one that I saw when I was a kid. I've seen one that has Ewoks in it.
That's the
that has
third
what in
one,
it?
Return of the Jedi.
Okay, it's Return of a Jedi. The Ewoks, the little,
they
look like little bears. They're very cute. But that's the only one I've seen then. But I feel like from going to Disneyland and in just osmosis, like that the Empire Strikes Back, like Yoda coming into play is like the one everyone cares about. Is that
Empire Strikes Back is the sort of darkest, most angsty one of the original trilogy? It's the sort of weightiest one. I also like Return of the Jedi a lot, even though it gets criticized for being almost too childish, like the Ewoks and stuff. People say like, "Oh, it's like babyish. They're pandering to children."
I liked it.
That was my favorite.
It never actually bothered me.
Which one is your favorite?
Yeah, which one is your favorite
out of all nine films?
Empire Strikes Back, I guess, is probably my favorite. Although Return of the Jedi also I love. And it's sort of like feelings, like I said, I don't know, it's not a critical evaluation. It's more just like there's parts of both movies that like give me that feeling, and A New Hope too, that like it's just like, oh, I'm like here.
Yeah,
like,
that's cute.
It is really nice to hear this version compared to our like, oh my god, this is so boring.
Yes,
because obviously it means something to
a lot of
millions
people.
And you're right, though, like coming in and trying to look at it from fresh eyes is basically impossible because we have so many preconceived notions and like just thoughts
and
about it.
So many questions, because you're like, well, I heard about this. When does this happen?
Right, because we were waiting for Yoda the whole time.
Yes.
And then we were like, okay, about an hour and a half in, I don't think he's coming.
Nobody's going to talk to Yoda?
And A New Hope does suffer from pilot syndrome a little bit, where there's so much
to cleanly introduce
a
bunch of information.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So many. I mean, you don't meet Luke Skywalker until like 20 minutes in, maybe. You know.
Well, that's because we spent a lot of time on our little telephone friends. I maintain the movie should start with the long playing message of Princess Leia, and then they go find Han Solo, and then they go find her.
Yeah, it seems like it should start.
I didn't need any of that backstory.
I think when
you're looking at me funny, you don't think I'm wrong.
When Luke's aunt and uncle are killed and Obi-Wan talks to him, I think is like where that should begin.
I think, well, you have, because you're not telling the story of a person. You're telling the story with something like this. You're telling the story of a world, of a whole
that
setting.
That is a really interesting point, because I feel like in my mind, Luke Skywalker is the main guy.
Yes.
But like, and it's
but
about him.
No,
and he becomes the main
guy.
He becomes the main protagonist.
Yeah, but you're right that like that movie is more about just everything, not really just about him. It's not his story.
Well, also when you're introducing an entire alien world to an audience, you have to sort of, I think it is good to bring them up to speed. Nowadays, sci-fi movies come out, and even the Marvel movies and stuff, and there's a lot of, I think they're made with a sort of shorthand of like, they get it. We don't need to introduce a whole world to them, because they get alien world or superhero world or whatever. So let's just do the characters and whatever. But actually, I think making people fall in love with the world is crucial, is a reason for Star Wars success. And I can't totally pinpoint Star Wars success, because there are a lot of things that are clunky about it. And, you know, people didn't love it right off the bat. I mean, a lot of people did, but it wasn't like a foregone conclusion that it was going to be a decades-long cultural phenomenon. I think it just hit some magical, you know, golden mean of fun characters, fun world, good actors, you know, and cultural readiness for it, and a sort of like hit a pocket of sort of escapism that people liked. But yeah, I don't think there's one thing that makes sense to me of why it's the phenomenon that it is.
I will say, it is really nice to hear you talk about it, and it makes me a little bit more excited to watch the next one.
Oh, good.
I was like, okay.
We were kind of nervous right after this ended. We were like, oh no, we have to watch
so many more hours,
and we got scared. And this makes me feel a little like hopeful, and also a little more open-minded about how my friends view it, and like, okay, this is like, this is a nice
memory. The next
memory.
Two are fun. The next two are good.
Okay.
I'm
good.
After that, you're going to be like, well, maybe it'll, the pacing of it may be more friendly.
Yeah, well, that's what we were thinking. We were thinking as it gets like to the much later movies that they might just move really quickly in a way that is easier for us.
Easier to consume.
Yeah. Possibly. The prequels are almost impenetrable. Like if you're wondering what's going on now, like I watched the prequels being fully invested in this universe, and I don't know that I could still sit down and explain to you what is going on globally.
Wow, no.
So that'll be fun.
Okay. Can't wait to get into those ones.
Oh, but you mentioned earlier the edits, the
slow fades, the crossfades,
like the dissolves.
I believe they're called wipes.
Oh yeah.
And it's funny that you look at that, because it is cheesy, but I see those, like something about the sort of misty, it's not misty, but it's like unfocused, fuzzy line as it wipes across the screen. Even that, I'm like, oh, that's, it's a design choice that is cheesy, but it works. Like that gives me that feeling with the tinkling sort of incidental score music and the wipe. Like even that gets me. And
that makes sense. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like 70s TV a little bit. Like just that comforting
of the era.
Yeah. Sorry, I cut you off there.
Well, in the video games that they come out with now, they've maintained, like between loading screens, they still build those wipes into it.
That is cute.
It is nice to like respect and revere the things that might have been cheesy about it too. And they're like, we still like that. I like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
too.
Wow.
I mean, I don't want, you guys are under no obligation to like love these movies.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You should experience them however is right for you. And, you know.
Darth Vader. Currently, because we just finished this movie, so he's currently just floating around in space?
Yeah, what happened at the end of that? He was in that battle, and then it seemed like he didn't seem to win the battle because they got knighted at the end.
They destroyed the Death Star.
And then he was like floating around in the thing.
Yeah, right. So Darth Vader's just floating in space currently.
I think he's okay, yeah.
Well, he's going to come back.
So they made the movie. You know, I think they hedged their bets and sort of like, we want to make more than one, but maybe we're only making one. Mm-hmm. So it's got to have a satisfying ending, but we have to leave threads to to play through more movies. So, yeah, he's okay. You know, he's hurt in that he was bested in this battle, and he wasn't able to achieve his goals, but he's still
alive. He going to get out of that little spaceship?
Well, he'll fly it somewhere. That's another...
I'm concerned.
Another difficult thing, like, something like Lord of the Rings is truly, like, a journey. Like, it's a physical journey where they have to cross many miles to get where they're going.
To get a
and
ring.
It's arduous. Well, no, they have the ring. They have
Don't even open that can of worms. Because I haven't really seen that either, and I'm
never
not.
Never seen it.
No.
But it's a physical journey, so there's like a journey takes a toll on
they
you.
They have the
you
ring.
I thought they were going to go get it.
Star Wars is similarly a journey, but you just go anywhere.
Mm.
You just go like, I'm in a spaceship and then I'm there. So that's a weird element that is lacking from Star Wars, where you don't you're on a journey, but it's not a physical journey in the sense of like you can just be at your destinations one after the other. So that is a strange element.
So I got to start this next movie by being like, Darth is where he is, and that's okay.
Yeah, a little bit of time has passed, and yeah.
So Gambling, do you have any like last thoughts about how we should go about watching the rest of these movies?
Well, I don't know. If you're interested in them, that would be nice for you.
We honestly hope that we become more interested. I think something I was possibly considering is like maybe when we watch the next movie, we then like Google a little more about it so we can learn something.
Yes, I think that would probably be very smart.
After,
or should we do it before?
Well, no, I was going to say, I think you should try to recognize that everything that you have in your mind about these movies is, you know, going to set an expectation that is just either going to be confusing or disappointing or whatever.
Yeah.
I would really try to watch them as someone would have watched them. I mean, you guys have a rare cultural gift of being able to see something for the first time.
Yeah,
all right.
Try to pretend it's 1981 and
what we should do.
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back just came out.
I put a scrunchie in my slip on my Reeboks.
All you know
put
is
on your Barbie pajamas.
I think that was a little later in the 80s, but all you saw, you know, all anybody saw is the first movie, and now you're seeing the second movie.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm
more
honored
appealing.
To.
Do you have anything you want to promote?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What about your Twitter and Instagram?
Yeah,
tell the people. Twitter is at GemberLicking.
Good for you not being on Instagram.
I just have no desire to post pictures of anything. I don't, it's not.
How does it feel?
I feel free?
I feel
the idea of posting pictures like makes me anxious, so it's not.
Yeah. Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook.
I gave up Facebook. Are you on Facebook?
No.
I can't.
I'm not on Facebook. I hated everything I saw on there.
It bummed me out.
Awful. Yeah. Okay, well, please review this podcast and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Especially review it if you enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah, if you don't like it, you know.
Give us a second. Because here's the thing. We are new to this.
Yes.
And if you're like a super fan, because this is my fear with doing this podcast, is that there are going to be super Star Wars fans who hate how we're talking about this. And I really want you to go on this journey with us because we're going to learn. We're going to have guests on who know about this and they're going to help
gonna
us.
We're going to learn.
And we're open.
Yes, we're very open. And I will say this. I liked a lot of the action sequences. I felt like the things in between, I was like, I want to kill myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, maybe now that I know more about the world, I'll go into it really enjoying the second one.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of excited to watch the second
one
now.
I'm not dreading it. I was dreading watching the first one.
Yes.
And it was boring.
You bet.
But I feel excited about watching the second
one.
Same. Okay, good, good. We're on the same page.
Okay, guys. You gotta listen to the next episode because we're gonna be happier.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited for you guys.
Please. Oh my God. Follow both of us. I'm at Lauren Lapkus on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm at Nicole Byer on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. So we love you guys so much.
Yes. Yes. We love you.
See you next time.
Bye bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.